The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those old days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks and convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are those who like to joke that Moses was the first one to download the Ten Commandments from cloud using two tablets. Yeah, that's probably not very close, probably, to the point of my sermon today. But if I were to give a title to this sermon, I would call it The Great Transfer, and I will explain why. Every parent generally has good wishes for the success in the life of their children. So we want our children to do well in life. We spend almost a lifetime building into their lives, hoping that they would get the skills that they need to do well. Also, deep within us, we transfer to them our DNA. Sorry. That's very inescapable. You have it in you whether you like it or not. But then we have also in the animal world, if you watch documentaries, we observe a similar scenario. Animal parents teach their offspring skills to earn a living. For example, at a certain point, a mother eagle will encourage its chicks to fly so they can go and learn to get their own food. What a stern reminder. I'm imagining it happening this way. "You are meant to fly. Now, fly, go, and provide for yourself." Well, this may sound like a weak example, but I believe that God wants us to do well in life, to be blessed and to be happy. And here, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Gospel, have clues that shows us that God's desire is to transfer something of himself to us so that we can do very well in the way that we were meant to be. There's a proverb in my own culture that says, the garden hoe that cultivates friendship is your feet. Let me repeat that. You know the garden hoe, the one that we use to till the ground? So that garden hoe is the one, whichever cultivates friendship is your feet, which means that your feet coming to my house makes our friendship stronger, which means I come to your house and you come to my house, and therefore that really strengthened our friendship. And God had the same idea, that he would come to us, being born from among us, and be one of us, a human like us, so that we also can be one with him, a divine being. That is a great transfer. And from God to us, and from us to God, something is transferred. Now, last week, Father Jeff mentioned a phrase that I love, and it says, that they may see Jesus in me. Yes, how I wish that would be so true of all of us. And I wish that they may see Jesus in me. The mutual joining of each other, of God and us. And our Old Testament story brings out a fascinating example of a human in the presence of God. And what do we learn here? Moses comes down from the mountain experience, talking with God, and he's unaware that now, because he's been in the presence of God, his face is shining. I was in Sunday school earlier with the bigger kids, and they were saying, maybe somewhere there was some LAD inside him. That was kind of funny. But it's interesting that when we go into the presence of God, it transforms us because we receive something from God, something that changes us supernaturally. I think of Mother Teresa, him who moved from her native, comfortable Europe to live in the slums of India serving God. Or think about St. Francis, who gave up all the comforts of his parents' material wealth to live a simpler life serving God. There are many others. May I mention even Peter the Apostle? Do you remember how hothead he was? Really? He did, you know, cut the ear of someone off and Jesus put it back? At the end of 3 years of spending with Jesus, he still had, you know, rough edges quite a bit. And then in the end, we have an epistle from him that shows how transformed, how changed he was, which is an indication all these people I just told you, something of God came to them, and they also accepted it. And also, they gave their lives to God. And that's why we see them. Whatever they did is shining for us. There's such an example that we call them saints. Now, Israelites could not gaze into Moses' shining face. So he had put a veil on his face so that this shining, everybody may not have trouble looking. We all have trouble looking into the sun, right? So they, instead of not, you know, looking into him, Moses put a veil into his face. And I wonder what kinds of issues in our lives acts like a veil to prevent us or to shield us from the bright presence of God. By the way, that veil in the temple was removed for us believers so that we can go into the Holy of Holies and have one-on-one, face-to-face with God because of Jesus Christ. So this veil, perhaps it could be the fact that we get busier and busier, either in our work or family routines, that we find no time with God. We don't sense God. We are so busy with things, forgetting that we can actually find God in the midst of all of it. Whether you are at work, whether you are cleaning in your house, whether you are doing the dishes, God can be found in those moments. In good times, in bad times, pray. We need to pray. God's presence is with us. Now, Ukrainians are now in their greatest hour of need. We need to pray for them and with them. May they sense the awareness of God rather than think about how the world has abandoned them. I've been there before. You know, the war is coming. Why aren't you helping us? Won't you see that we are drowning here? Where are you, world? We believe you can help us. Instead of seeing God has been with us all along, just trust in God. Be with God within your situation, whatever that situation is. May they sense the awareness of God in their greatest hour. Well, the veil could also be our pride or our frustrations or our sense of failures. But Christ invites us to seek and to enter into the presence of the divine. Where is the place of healing and the place of purification? Give me a name of a person who went into the presence of God and who remained unchanged. Is there anyone? And here is really what happens. This is a face that I would like the world to see. But beneath it is me, real me, who's maybe sometimes uncomfortable with certain parts of my life that I would like God to take care of. Things that are really not in line with God's will. And when I go into the presence of God, those are the things that get to chip away. When we are in God's presence, we get our old us die so that the new us can live. That's the great transfer. You receive from God and you give yourself to God. And when Jesus took Peter, John, and James to the mountain to pray and experience his heavenly glory, his face became brighter than lightning. I'm sure much, much brighter than the experience that they had with Moses. And I'm sure these disciples had seen many miracles already, but this time, they saw it for themselves, who Jesus was and where he came from. And the heavens were open. The spiritual world was open. Here is Moses representing the law. And here is Elijah representing the prophets. And they could see Jesus' connection with the long Jewish history of salvation. They can see, they can now understand with their own minds. Wow, we can see where you are, where you belong. Do you see now the great transfer? It's like a parent teaching their children. This is where you belong. This where you are. Is very temporary. But that's eternal life. This big vision of a spiritual world, that's where you were supposed to be. Just like that mother eagle kicking the chicks out of the nest. You are meant to fly. Go out and fly. I will not provide for you anymore. You are going to provide for yourselves. And now know who you are. That in Christ you have the power of God. You have Christ in you. That is your destiny. That's where you should be. There is a mystery to knowing God. There is a supernatural grace that enables us and empowers us to be more like Christ. If the gospel tells us, love your enemies, is hard? Is it hard for you? Yes, if it is hard, with the power of God, with that grace from God, it is possible. Is there anything that is impossible to God? Is there anything that is impossible to God? Everything is possible with God. So believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The great divine transfer is meant for you. Amen.